Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever, wherever you are listening. We want to welcome you to the show. You're now rocking with the best. My name is Kwame. We've got one half of Double Trouble in the house, Elijah Roberts Akil. He's on his way to L.A. right now. Actually, he should be kind of getting there in a little bit, but he decided to make the road trip, so he's driving, and so we're wishing our nephew safe travels. But what's happening with you, E? How you doing, brother?
Good. I'm actually moving tomorrow. So,
nice.
Both of us, same time. Got my condo downtown. I've been doing a lot to get ready to move, but tomorrow's the day, and I'm pretty excited for it.
Big man business. Proud of your nephew.
Thank you.
It's crazy because, again, like when I always think back to, you know, meeting you for the first time, you were like a young little pup, just a little guy in the back seat with daddy, and now look at you. You're all grown up. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of
crazy how things change over time.
I tell you, it's how fast things go. And so, you know, make sure, well, you know, you're responsible. So you're a guy that will cook, you'll clean and all that.
Yeah, I'll cook. I'm already putting together a budget and everything. So I'll be good.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
On today's show, we have from EA Sports, Sean Ramjansingh. He'll be joining us later to talk about the upcoming NHL 21, which personally I'm really excited about. But first, we have a few things we need to wrap about. You know, it is it's been a crazy last couple of days, E. And I think first off, we want to say rest in power to Chadwick Boseman, who passed away at the early age of 43 of colon cancer. He's our King T'Challa, our Black Panther. You know, some of his work he will be remembered by our 42. The story of Jackie Robinson, Marshall, the story of Thurgood Marshall, 21 Bridges, The Five Bloods, Message from the King, and, you know, I could go on and on. He's got two more films actually coming out in the next little while, which is beautiful because he's left us with some things to really look forward to. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in 2014, and I believe it was 2014. And at that time, he was able to work on 10 films while getting treated and undergoing countless surgeries. And I tell you, like it, like when a friend of mine messaged me, like I wanted to cry, you know, I really wanted to cry because, you know, that's just something I didn't want to hear at this time. How did you feel when you heard about his passing?
No, it's crazy for sure. I was at Jack Astor's with my girlfriend and a couple of friends and was having a good time. And I open up my phone on Twitter and I see it's all over Twitter. And like instantly, like my heart just like dropped. Mm. And it's like, no way, like this can't be true. And like, that was like our Black superhero. Like he changed it. He like changed everything. You know, I looked up to him in 42. That's like, did a project on that movie. He's just kind of, for me, he was one of my favorite actors and he was a real life superhero. Like he played Black Panther, but the things he did outside of that was a real life superhero. And yeah, he's going to be missed. And it's still like, it's still hard to process right now.
Still really hard to process. And I feel for the kids, you know, especially those young Black boys and girls who, you know, looked at him and, you know, were inspired by him. The saving grace is that, you know, his legacy will always be there. They can always go on Netflix or they got the copies and they can always look at him and, you know, remember his work. And I think that's the thing, one of the things that I'm taking away from his passing is in this life, we have to leave a legacy. We have to leave something behind. It doesn't have to be as impactful as what Chadwick Boseman has left us, but you've got to do something. You've got to leave something for your family, your friends, the next generation so that people can always remember you as life goes on. And, you know, the one other thing that I got from his passing is learning his story. And I'm not sure if you even know about this story. I know a lot of people are discovering it now, but I had heard about this years ago, that Felicia Rashad, do you know who Felicia Rashad is? Felicia Rashad, did you ever grow up watching the Cosby Kids? Was Cosby Show around? Okay.
No.
So Cosby Show was, you know, obviously a huge show, and the mother was Felicia Rashad. She played Claire Huxtable, and she helped a lot of young kids, you know, as far as education goes. And she would get sponsors to help these kids. She went to Denzel Washington and said, there's a young man I need you to sponsor and help. And Denzel was like, yeah, sure. Wrote the check. That young boy was Chadwick Boseman.
Wow.
And what that tells me and what that should tell the world is, when you're selfless, when you can go and do something for somebody else without wanting something in return, you never know what that person can turn out to be.
Uh-huh.
Just again, so when this whole thing happened, I wish I could give Denzel a hug, because I can't imagine what that must feel like for him.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, he should feel so proud of that, because it's like Chadwick said in a ceremony for Denzel. He said, there's no Black Panther without Denzel Washington.
Uh-huh.
So we have lost a great, but we are able to see the lessons. And I hope people see the lessons and honor this man. And another thing I will say, it's a great lesson in stop being a jerk, stop being mean, stop being judgmental of people, because he had posted pictures and did some stuff online and you noticed how skinny he was. I remember seeing that and I thought, whoa, he's lost a lot of weight. And people were calling him all sorts of names without knowing what he was going through. How do you feel now? How do you feel now, you insensitive SOBs, that this man was suffering from colon cancer, and you tough guys behind your Twitter, your Facebook, all you can do instead of looking at yourself is look at somebody else and make fun of them. I hope you feel good about yourself. It's another lesson in don't judge, don't be insensitive, because you never know what somebody's going through.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, pay it forward. And I'll tell you this, Elijah, as a young Black man, one of the things that plague our community is exactly what Chadwick passed away from. I know uncles, friends who have passed away from colon cancer. And there's a big stigma in the Black community, especially with Black men, of getting themselves checked out from doctors. When you reach a certain age, you are supposed to, as a young Black man, go and get checked out get your colonoscopy. It's not the most pleasant thing in the world. I'll tell you that straight up, because I did it. But it can save your life. You can catch this awful disease very early. And my hope is that with Chadwick's passing, that we can restart that conversation of the importance of getting yourself checked out, especially young Black men, for colon cancer and stuff like that. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, but it is a lot to process. We had another passing in the sports world. Legendary coach John Thompson from Georgetown Hoyas, he passed away. For all the old school basketball fans out there, you'll know that in the 80s, he was the guy, one of the greatest coaches of all time. So we want to say rest in power to him as well. And I tell you, it's been a crazy 2020.
I was reading a tweet from Allen Iverson, mm-hmm. talking about how he saved his life by being the coach that he was. So it's you never know how much of an impact people have on other people. And I also want to Cliff Robinson, NBA yes. All-Star, he passed away as well. So it's been a tough week. It's been a really tough week mm-hmm. to see so many heroes and black men passing away. It's tough.
We had Jacob Blake, another black man who was shot in the back 7 times in front of his 3 children in Kenosha, Wisconsin. As a result, there have been more protests. And in the sports world, we have seen cancellation of games and practices to shine a light on what's happening. I'll let you speak on this first, and then I'll jump in after.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. He's just walking. He was breaking up a fight, apparently, between 2 women. And unarmed, they tried to say he was holding a knife, but in the video, it's clear he's not holding anything in front of his family, and they shoot him in the back 7 times.
I don't like to rush to judgment. You know, I like to get a lot of the information before, you know, I like to speak on things. But at the same time, I just honestly feel that there's got to be other ways, man, because if you watch the video, he takes so many steps to get behind that car and open the door and go inside. I don't know what he was doing inside. Like they did say, he did say, it's just reported that there was a knife in the car, but it was under the floorboard or something like that, which is interesting because I don't know.
But that shouldn't matter.
Well, no, it shouldn't. Right? It shouldn't, because I don't know what police officer has X-ray vision to know that that's there. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know that it was there. They didn't know what he was doing. So I understand that. I understand the argument of we don't know what he was going to. I understand that clearly. I'll take that. But what I don't understand is how do not these group of police officers not jump on his back? I don't get that. What are your thoughts on the cancellation of the sports? Because, you know, there's been a lot of critique against the NHL not reacting fast enough. The NBA set it off. What are your thoughts on the whole cancellation of the sports?
I was all for it. Being an athlete, someone who's been playing for a while, being a fan as well, sports aren't entitled. We're not entitled to sports. I think it's a privilege to be able to watch sports, to have sports. And when we're trying to have our voices heard and they're not being heard, sports, they really don't matter anymore. And sure, some people say there's no need to cancel, but what more do we need to do to have our voices heard? We need to stop just talking and take action, because something needs to change. We can't keep having this happen over and over again. And I was driving in the car with my mom today. And it's crazy that we need to have these conversations, but she was saying like, please, please, like if you're ever in a car and you get pulled over, ask the cop if you can reach in your glove compartment before you do. Please just do whatever they ask, because she can't handle me being next or my brother being next. And those are conversations that we shouldn't need to have. Mm-hmm. So we really need, I loved what the players did. They took action, and I think maybe it didn't make a change now, but hopefully down the road it can make a change.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I think I'm with you on that. That I'm glad that the athletes all around North America took a stand and said, you know what, we're going to take a pause for a second just to reflect on what's going on, which is needed. I don't like the hard anger talk that was going on online especially. And that's why I try to stay offline as much as possible now, because a lot of people are talking really sideways about what other people should be doing instead of concentrating on what they should be doing or what they are doing or what they have been doing. A lot of people are demanding leagues and organizations and individuals to take care of this problem. And that's not what it's all about. We have to do this together. We have to work together to solve this issue. Everybody plays a part in this. And when I see these things happen, instead of looking outwards, I look inwards and I say to myself, Kwame, what are you doing right now? What's your role in this? You know, over the situation with Jacob Blake, it's gone back to diversity and inclusion in the game of hockey. And a lot of people are demanding a lot from the league. And as much as the league needs to take responsibility and do their part to help the game grow, to help make sure that Black and brown, Asian, all people are included in the game of hockey, at the same time, we have to allow the league to get to that point and to do what they need to do. I know for a fact that there's a lot of things the league have been doing. I know that there is a lot more the league can and should be doing. But as long as they show me that they are going in that direction, I'm satisfied. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And I always will go back to the one thing. Don't ask me or don't say, what's the league doing? What are you doing? Take responsibility for what you can control and everything else will fall in place. You see what I'm saying? If you have some sort of ability and power, use that. Go into the Black community. Even if you can just go into the Black community and volunteer at a YMCA, a soup kitchen, go and talk to a family, do something. If you're passionate about changing the Black community, then go and do something. Don't tell everybody else what to do. You go and do something. We West Indians have a saying, don't watch nothing. And what that means is don't watch what other people are doing. Watch what you are doing first. And if you're doing your job and you still see that nobody else is doing their job, then you know what? You have the right to make a comment and say something. But if I don't see you doing anything, you have no right to say a word. I know what I have done in the past 5 years as far as trying to help grow this game for more minority people to love the game of hockey, to learn the game of hockey, to learn our history in the game. I know exactly what have I done. But there's a lot of people I could point to and say, what have you done? And they can't even say one thing. So Elijah, my nephew, I know you're passionate about seeing the game grow. And all I'm going to say to you, my brother, is don't look for everybody else to solve the problem. You as a man, you do what you can. As small as it is, you do what you can. Because just like Denzel did for Chadwick, one little thing for one person can change people's lives.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really powerful. And, you know, that's something we've kind of talked about a little bit. What can you do instead of pointing the finger? And even my dad's always said, don't blame anyone else. Don't say this didn't happen because this. You take ownership of what happens. And that's what I've always been taught. And even now, I want to actually make change happen. I don't want to talk about it. And I've done it in the past, but there's more that I can do. When I look in the mirror, yes, there's more I can do. And something I've already done is I've talked to my coach. Me and my roommate, we went and talked to my coach and figured out what's some things that we can do in the community once we get downtown and what are things we can do to help. So even if it's little, I personally want to make as much change as I can. And then when I can look in the mirror and say, I've done that, all that I've done, then I start to go to the next person and say, how can I help this person? So I think it's real important to be doing all that. And yeah, it's just,
we'll get there
we'll get there
slowly but surely, you know, paying it forward. That's the hugest thing. I remember Anthony Stewart, former NHL player, the older brother to Chris Stewart, telling me about a family that helped him when he was young, and his family couldn't afford to pay for hockey, couldn't even barely afford to put food on the table, and how that action helped his whole family to this day because he and his brother were able to play in the National Hockey League and provide for their family. If you help just one person, you never know what they can become. And you have to do it without expecting anything from them. You have to do it from the bottom of your heart. There is a lot that can be done to help grow the game of hockey, to help bring awareness to the Black community and the problems that are going on. But we can't look to other people for it. We have to just hope that what we are doing is going to shed light. Big ups and salutations to the Arizona Coyotes, who have pledged to open up their arena as a voting center. That's action. In America, voting is so important, especially in this upcoming election. And for a team in the National Hockey League to say, you know what? We're going to open up our arena because of COVID-19, and we need to make sure that people have a safe space to vote. God bless them. And I hope every other American team in the National Hockey League follows suit and does the exact same thing. You got anything else for me, Elijah?
I guess I do kind of have a story about when I was in Niagara. One thing I tried to do every game is give a puck to a kid. And if I saw a Black kid in the crowd, I would always make sure it was him that I gave the puck to. And I know it was something little, but it was something that he's not going to forget. And even if I don't remember this kid, I just hopefully change this kid's day, this night, or whatever. So fast forward a little bit, I was talking to a kid after the game, and he was telling me how like that made such a big impact. And one thing I do, I asked the kid if he wanted to go for dinner, took him for dinner, and I think he's become a much bigger hockey fan, and I'm hoping that even in his personal life, it's helped him a lot. So just little things like that, that people, we don't even notice as athletes doing things like that, but it makes a big difference. And the reason I share that story is for other young Black kids going into the OHL or wherever they're playing hockey, try and do things like that to help out the next generation and make a change. And you don't know how little the things you're doing are, but they mean a lot to a lot of people. So if you can find yourself doing little things like that, it makes a big difference.
It'll put a smile on a kid's face and it will brighten up the day. I guarantee that, like you said, that kid is never going to forget that moment that Elijah Roberts threw a puck to him out of all the kids that are in the crowd. And lastly, I'll say this, the impact that Chadwick Boseman had, especially with the character of Black Panther. I remember going to Niagara to watch and film some stuff of you and Akil. I hope I can find the video because I want to get a screenshot of it. And I remember you guys in the hallway getting ready to jump on the ice. Tell everybody what you and Akil would do before you guys got on the ice.
Fist
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
You'd give the Wakanda
kept
forever
that going all game.
That was just beautiful.
Every game we did that, Wakanda forever.
Love it. Love it. All right, my friends. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back from EA Sports, Sean Ram Jansing, he's going to be rocking with the best right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast. Okay, our next guest has what I consider to be one of the top five jobs out there if you're a guy like me. He's been working with EA Sports for the past 20 years and is about to drop another highly anticipated game. Let me introduce to you the tallest guy I know personally, the executive producer behind the EA Sports NHL franchise, Sean Ram Jansing, a.k.a. Rammer. Welcome to the show, my brother. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining us. For those out there, please just give them your exact height.
Yeah, 6'11". Comes up all the time. I'm 6'11". Wow. Didn't make it to 7. I'm about 7'1", 7'1.5" on skates though.
It's really funny because the first time I met you was in Tampa Bay during All-Star. That's and right. The reason why I knew it was you because you were the tallest person in the crowd. And I had always heard about you. I've seen pictures. And then I was just scanning the fan area. And I was like, there's Rammer. And so I just rolled up to you.
But top of Fan really Expo cool. there. I remember it was yesterday, man.
It was yesterday. It was good times. And yeah, man, thanks so much for joining us. You know, I just wanted to start off by congratulating you and your team for bringing the hockey franchise to all of us gamers over the years. There's been some ups and downs, but you know, if you're a true fan of video games, you stick with it and you'll find something in there that you enjoy. So thank you very much for all the hard work you and your boys do, because I've actually been there and I've seen the work that it takes to make something like that happen.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. It's a labor of love for, you know, the team and myself. We're living in Vancouver, making the game in Vancouver for the most part. A lot of the team are diehard hockey fans, diehard Canucks fans, to drive into work every single day or work from home these days, every single day on a sport and on a video game. It's an honor, right?
Why did you guys choose Ovi this year as your cover athlete? And is he the first two-time athlete on the cover of the NHL franchise?
Not the first. We've had Jonathan Toews on the cover twice. Ovi is a really interesting choice for us. I mean, when you take a step back and just think about Ovi, and he's such a pioneer for the game, right? Coming to the league way back, this kid from Russia that had this sense of style and self-expression that the league just hadn't seen before. You know, when I think of Ovi, you know, I think of the yellow skates, the tinted visor, the over-the-top celebrations, and just the incredible skill and the fun that he brings to the game. And he's one of the first, you know, one of those first players that really was comfortable sort of expressing himself on the ice and not just conforming to the team. And, you know, when you look at our cover athletes over the past couple of years, you look at the McDavids, the Austin Matthews, the PK Subbans of the world, those guys are now leaning into, you know, their brand on and off the ice. And when you dial that back and look back at, like, who's sort of the original, Alex was the guy leading the way 15 years ago and doing it his way. And when you look at Alex now and he's, you know, going for the all-time goal-scoring record, people said he couldn't win a cup. He won a cup his way. Didn't change the way he, he played or approached the game. He, you know, I mean, his celebration after winning the cup was very Alex Ovechkin-esque. So he's a guy that's really kind of pushed the sport forward and then paved the way for a lot of these young guys that are playing the league right now.
It's kind of crazy to think of, because I go back to 07. I think to this date, that's probably my favorite NHL game. I just love that game. But when it comes to making the games, how much of an impact do players like Ovi and other players have on you guys making the game?
Yeah, I mean, we have the thing is, like, players now, that are in the league, all the young kids now, like, they don't know a world where there wasn't video games. They grew up playing their entire life, so they got an opinion of every single title that we've made. They got an opinion of the first time they saw, you know, the title where they saw themselves in this game for the first time. So, you know, we have a lot of guys who will reach out to us now and just want to interact with us and give feedback. So, you know, we talk to as many players as we can and get feedback, and some, like, you know, have big grand ideas, and some just have, you know, little things to make the game more authentic. But, you know, my perspective on feedback is, like, we take feedback from everywhere, whether it's an NHL player or, you know, a kid in his mom's basement just playing the game and just loves our game. I mean, everyone's feedback is super valuable to us. So we take all the feedback, and then, you know, part of my job and part of the team's job is to listen to the feedback from everybody, and, you know, have a good understanding or gain understanding of how many other people out there that are playing our game or that might be playing our game are feeling the same way, and decide what kind of action we want to take. So, the NHL players have been fantastic over the years, as, you know, they continue to, as they've grown up playing our game, with the feedback. But we take feedback from anywhere. Like, we don't feel like just because we make the games, we have a monopoly on all the good ideas.
I want to touch on that point of feedback later on, but I really wanted to start off with you. I wanted to find out a little bit more about you and how you became the main guy behind EA Sports, the NHL franchise, and your position. And how did that all come about for you?
Man, Yeah, you asked me 25 years ago if I'd be sitting here talking to you about making video games. I would not have dreamed of that. I mean, I went to school at Simon Fraser. I played basketball at Simon Fraser. We talked about height already. So I played basketball up there, and after my time at SFU was done, I kind of took a step back and thought about what I had to do, and I wanted to continue trying to play basketball. I went overseas and played in a New Zealand basketball league for a year, and then I came back up here just kind of waiting for my next contract. And I had a couple of buddies that played on the SFU basketball team with me, and another guy, my current boss actually, that played football at Simon Fraser at the same time. And they were working for a smaller company in Vancouver called Radical Entertainment down in Yaletown. And so I'm sitting here waiting for my next basketball contract. And when you're growing up, right, you see, you wake up every morning as a kid, and you see your parents going to work, and you see them grinding away, and you're like, all right, that's what work is. And I want to put off doing real work as long as I possibly can, because waking up and, 9 to 5 or whatever your hours are, or you've seen your dad wake up super early, like, I want to do that. I want to push that off for as long as I possibly can. But that's, for me, you talk about, what you see is kind of, it shapes how you perceive the world. And so for me, I remember this like it was yesterday, this eye-opening moment where I went downtown and met my buddies for lunch that were working at Radical Entertainment at the time. Got down there probably 11:30 on a hot summer day, and walk into their building. It's this beautiful building in downtown Vancouver. Walk in there, there's a keg of beer, there's a kitchen, there's a wall full of food. Everyone is dressed in shorts and t-shirts. There's no dress code. We go for a 2.5 hour lunch, have a beer at lunch, and then they go back to work. I'm like, wait a minute, like, you're going back to work? We just had beer. Like, you don't have a time to, you don't have like an hour long lunch break. Like, this is work. So really, really opened my eyes to what work can be, right? What work can be, and how you can go after a profession that really is of interest to you. And so as I was waiting, I put my resume in, and at the time, timing was everything. Radical needed somebody to help them with their basketball game at the time, someone who understood the sport, they understood the authenticity of the sport. And as these games in the early, this is 1999, these games were getting more and more realistic. They needed people that could speak to the authenticity, because we were just, the industry was just figuring out how to leverage, technology to bring these games to life in a more realistic way. And so that's how I got my start. And, long story short, Radical lost the ESPN license to make basketball and hockey. So we were sort of dabbling around in some web stuff. And then EA got the NCAA basketball game. So it was an opportunity to work back in sports for me. And so I made the jump over to EA Sports, worked on NCAA basketball for a couple of years, worked on the NBA for a little bit. And I'm I've been a diehard hockey fan my entire life. And so I was at a Canucks game. It was around 2007, I believe, 2008. And the bosses from the EA Sports NHL team were there as well, and having a few drinks, and called me over, and we had a good chat, and said, hey, are you interested in coming over to work on hockey? And it's for them to ask me to work on hockey was a dream come true. And I said, listen, I got one person I want to talk about tomorrow, about this opportunity with tomorrow, which was my boss at the current time. Talked to my boss the next day, and he's like, if it checks all the boxes for you, then you got my blessing. Go chase the opportunity. Followed up with those guys, and the rest has been history. So 2009, NHL 09 was the first NHL hockey game that I worked on. And just, again, as a kid, loving hockey, getting to work on a hockey video game, getting to work with the NHL, work with the NHLPA, get a peek behind the curtain. Unbelievable. Just a thrill, just a dream come true for me.
Did you have to do any schooling, or was there any criteria kind of to get the job?
Yeah, I think for me, it wasn't specific schooling that I took for the job itself. What I brought was just the authenticity, and from a basketball perspective, from a sports perspective, from a team and a team building perspective, that's kind of what I brought to the job at the time. So I was just focused on authenticity, and just continued to learn while I was on the job different aspects of being a producer, being a designer. I just tried to build my skill set on as I went along, but just being aware along the way that I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was passionate about figuring it out.
So let's talk about your background. I know that you're Trinidadian and you're living in Vancouver. Where did you spend most of your childhood, and how were you introduced to hockey?
Yeah, I was born. Both my parents were born in Trinidad, and I was so I was born here in Vancouver. And every Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada was on the TV, and that's where I was. That's where I gained my love for the sport. My dad used to go to the games and come back with a little puck or a Vancouver Canucks pajamas, and just all those little things just reinforced my love for the Canucks and for the sport. And I remember watching every single Canucks game that was on TV. I remember listening on the old transistor radio, every Canucks game that was on the radio at the time as well. I remember going out for dinner with my parents to people's places and taking my little radio with me so I could listen to the game. I remember, the Canucks coming back from 6-0 or 6-1 against the Montreal Canadiens, and Harold Snepp scored a power play goal because there was 2 seconds left and he would never be on the ice. Like, those are my childhood memories, man. Like, it was just hockey.
So what was it like for you growing up? Did you try to play? What did your friends think about you liking the game of hockey? What was the atmosphere like for you growing up loving this game that traditionally was not catered to people that look like you and me?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in you got to see it to be it. And, we hung around with our family friends who are also from Trinidad as well. And, like all these guys, like my brothers, Roger and Steve, they were a couple years older than me. And they were playing hockey, and they were more into hockey than I was. And that's part of where my love for hockey came from as well. And so they were already playing. And, I saw them being on the ice, putting the skates on and going out there and playing. Like, I can do that too. I wanted to follow in their footsteps, and my parents bought me some equipment, and my uncle came by and helped me put on and showed me how to put all the gear, showed my parents how to put all the gear, and that's how it started. But you know what? I'll tell you this. If those two weren't playing hockey before me, I don't know if I would have played. And who knows what path I would have went down. It was because they were doing it, and it was okay for people like us to be playing hockey, and it opened the door for me to try it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's my dad's also from Trinidad, so I find that pretty cool. Yes. Who knows, our parents might know each other. Kind of,
right? Small world, man. Small world.
Everyone down in Trinidad knows each other. But
that's right.
One thing you guys added this previous year, franchise mode. I was going through it. I know you can add hire coaches, scouts, and I was looking, and there was female coaches. There was people of color for coaches, scouts, and I thought that I was really impressed by that, and it was kind of cool to see something like that. What kind of inspired you guys to add that in, and is there more of that coming in the future?
Absolutely. Yeah. With everything going on in the world right now, I think it's important for us to realize the platform that we have. Our game is a platform that we can use to kind of, start to really push hockey forward. We saw the players here taking a stand against racial injustice. Change takes time. Change takes a lot of time. But with our game, with our platform, there's nothing stopping us from accelerating that change within our game, and representing the sport in a more idealistic state of how we, how hopefully the world wants hockey to be in the future. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time to get there, but we can help accelerate. We can help lead that change, represent what we all want the sport of hockey to look like in the future. And so, you're going to see more and more of that from us. I think it's really, really important for us to use our game, use our platform to represent the inclusive nature that we want hockey to be moving forward, and try to accelerate as best we can. Again, like we just talked about, seeing it to be it, right? Whether you're a female, whether whatever sort of race you are, everyone has the opportunity to play hockey. We want everyone to have the opportunity to play hockey. We want everyone to be able to envision themselves when they play our game. I got a whiteboard sitting here right beside me with all my ideas for, for the upcoming NHL games. And my daughter in the bottom right-hand corner over here has more, get more females in the game, right? She's like, get more females, get more people of color in the game. So we have an obligation. I think we have a real obligation here to do our part take a stand against racial injustice and also sort of pave the way for the future of hockey in partnership with the NHL and the NHLPA and all the other people that are involved in the world of hockey.
I can't even remember what year it was. It was a couple of years ago. You invited me out to the studios. We brought my film Soul on Ice, Past, Present, and Future there. We showed it to your staff. And I remember Willie O'Ree came with me to that as well. Right. That was really cool. And the one thing that stood out to me is when we had the Q&A after, one of the female designers in the audience said, well, what can we do? Yeah. And that was the discussion. The discussion was, you know, this whole world that you guys have and being able to open it up to, it didn't matter, you know, men, women, color, it just, you know, I think, you know, you can actually see the change in the game over the years. And I, you know, you got to commend you guys for doing that and being on the forefront of that. How much did that moment of us, myself, hey, Willie, movie being out there, how much did that influence some of the changes that we see in the game going forward?
Yeah, I would say a big part. I mean, you know, that was one of the first times that we stopped to have a focused conversation on the topic as a collective group. And it was more than just the NHL team in that room at the time. We invited everybody from the Vancouver studio, but we'd stopped and had a conversation about it. And I think that conversation that we had really, really, you know, sparked people to think about the opportunity that we have and the things that we can be doing and that we probably should be thinking about other things and, you know, above and beyond what we're currently thinking about. So it really put a spotlight on the conversation and the opportunity that we had. So, yeah, I give you a lot of credit and I thank you for coming out there and I thank you for, you know, enabling our team to have that conversation. And we've had several conversations on this topic, especially with the recent sort of events around the world over the last little bit. But you know, that conversation that we had when you and Willie and Kim Davis came out as well, like mm-hmm. all of those things have helped build some momentum behind this in internally for us. It really is the dialogue that puts this conversation, this topic in people's heads, and then we try to turn that into action. So it's it really was a driving force in accelerating some of the change that you're seeing in our game.
You know, and also, you know, one of the things I also think about is there's always been a problem with language online, especially abusive language towards women, people of color, LGBTQ community. I've personally reached out to you to report specific teams and people who are expressing their hate towards, you know, Black people in their team names. And, you know, you've always been great in dealing with it right away. But, you know, at one point, enough is enough. You know, your team at EA got to a point where you put out a huge statement. As soon as you turn on the game, there's a huge statement basically letting people know that, you know, the team is not going to tolerate this. Black Lives Matter, and we're not going to tolerate any, you know, abusive language online. What have you guys done to ensure that marginalized groups can play the game, love the game, and play it in a safe environment going forward, especially coming up in NHL 21?
Yeah. We've taken a lot of action over the last little bit. When we talk about having a platform, it's important we keep our platform a place of sort of positivity and where people come in and have an enjoyable experience. And it did get to a point. It got to a point that was, you know, absolutely unacceptable. And so we put some new tools in the game. I believe that the majority of our community want to have a fun, positive experience when they go on and play online. And so we put tools in the game that enable people to flag offensive content. I mean, you know, we have filters and things, you know, we have filters in the game to try and stop some of the content from getting through. But there's so many creative ways to get around filters, not only in our game, but in sort of everything online where there's an opportunity, where there's a filter. And so we want to empower and enable our community to help us as well. So now what you can do is people can, if they see offensive content, they can see the gamer tag of the person and they can, you know, send it to our terms of service, our CE team to take action against. We've taken action on over 9,000, 10,000 accounts over the last little while. But we just want to make a statement, right? We're trying to take all these complaints seriously, take action and set a new bar for what good looks like within our game. And we're going to continue doing more of that moving forward. So continue with the abuse reporting. We have updated filtering systems going in. We're looking for, you know, some other technology as well that can help bolster up our ability to filter out the bad content. So this is not a, hey, we did something, we're done. This is going to be an ongoing focus for us moving forward here. You know, we're going to get better and better at it. We're going to continue to empower our community to help us as well as part of this. And hopefully we can get to a point where our platform is all about positive, fun play. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. It's a work in progress. But we're taking it very seriously and are going to continue to take it seriously.
We'll get
there. Yeah. And I think that's super important. I mean, I got a younger brother. I know Keel's got a younger brother. And when they go online and they're playing EA SHL games and they see that stuff, it's kind of, it's heartbreaking to see that. And I know Kwame tweeted out probably a couple of years ago or something, but I've seen all the change and how things have really changed. And I was playing FIFA not too long ago, and on the back of their jerseys, they had Black Lives Matter. And do you think adding phrases like that to maybe the create a player mode or something like that is something you could see you guys doing?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think again, we, you know, as a company, this is not a, you know, this is not an just an EA Sports NHL conversation. As a company, we've taken a strong stand around racial injustice. So this is, you know, this is, you know, coming from a company perspective, we're making this topic really important in all of our games. And so absolutely, we're going to look for more ways again to promote sort of inclusivity within our game. It's really important. It's bigger than the game. It's bigger than it's sport, bigger than the game. You know, you guys are probably plugged into what we, you know, the call that we made on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. We were expected to give out more content, you know, give our players an update on the world of Chell. You know, people were just waiting for that information. It's that time of year where we're starting to share, you know, the excitement of the features that we built for the upcoming cycle. And we were excited to release it to our players. Our players were excited to hear it. We had our technical test scheduled for Friday to go live. And with everything going on, with, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks taking a stand, the NBA taking a stand, the NHL going ahead and playing, and then not knowing what they're going to do on Thursday after the players meeting, we wanted to take a position of leadership there. So when we made the call, to, you know, not share the content around the world in Chell, when we made the call to push off our technical test to some time in the future, that was us, you know, taking a stand and basically saying that there's bigger conversations to be had right now than our game, than our video game, our hockey video game. And we are all super passionate about our game and we love it. We want our fans to play it, but it just didn't feel like the right time. You know, it wasn't the right time to have that test go live and to, you know, distract people from the broader conversation that was happening.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I personally feel that the way we grow the game, the way we make sure the game in all its forms and levels is inclusive, diverse, and safe. And, you know, we all have our part to help us get there. It's not on the league. It's not on EA Sports. It's on all of us. We all have to do our part. And there's many ways to introduce new fans to the game of hockey. And one of the biggest ways is the video game. Especially how intense the game is now and how it performs and how it looks and how it feels and the competition, the camaraderie and all that. How much responsibility do you feel that you and your team have to make sure you get it right, to make sure that it's an experience that can maybe make a kid of color especially say, oh my gosh, I want to play this game?
Yeah, absolutely. In this, you know, in this day and age, our game will be the first touch point with hockey that a lot of people have. And that first touch point, that first experience that people have will often shape, you know, their love or their love for the sport. And so I think it's important for us that, number one, you know, with our game, we make that first touch point a positive one, make it an accessible one so they can get into our game. They can have fun with the game despite what their, you know, level of expertise is with the controller in their hand or with the sport itself. I think it's important that we teach people the sport as well. We teach people positioning. We spent some time years back on some of the controls and mechanics in our game that teach you how to play hockey, when to shoot the puck, when to pass the puck, mm-hmm. where to be when guarding a player in the defensive zone. I think it's important that we're teaching people the basics of the game. We're showing off the best aspects of the game, the fun components of the game. And as we move forward here, continuing to make it a more inclusive place as well, right? And allowing people to see themselves within the game, however they define themselves.
Not too long ago, you were talking about the technical test. I believe Friday, you guys said you planned to release it, the past Friday.
Yeah.
Could you give us a little bit of a breakdown of what that's going to look like?
Yeah, it's to be honest with you, it's a relatively shallow experience in there. It's not a demo of the game. For us, it's the most important thing for us right now, given where we are, is to get feedback from our players around the gameplay experience. So there'll be gameplay in there, both offline and online gameplay. And then the second piece is really just stress testing, our servers, our online stability. So those are kind of the two key goals for the technical test that we're doing this year. Really get early feedback from our players once we get hands-on with our gameplay, and so that we can really dial in that gameplay experience for launch. And then, get some feedback around our online server stability. Make sure there's no, 100% crashes or desyncs and things like that. So it's really about setting ourselves up for great gameplay at launch and a smooth launch as well.
Yeah, servers is a big thing. I know some of the complaints or some of the issues people talk about is the servers. If you are playing from the West Coast or to the East Coast and where it is, have you guys put in a lot more time? Are we at a better place when it comes to servers and slow games, lags, dropouts, and all that?
Yeah, there's several things. I mean, there's so many factors. First of all, there's so many factors that go into that, that connection. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the extremes of someone on the East versus someone on the West, and the server that's selected, there's things that we've done to try and optimize that experience for sure. There's things that we've done in the game to kind of show your ping rates. We have a feel for what that connection is going to look like. Going into game, like an online versus, you see the quality of your connection to your opponent as well. So it can always continue to get better. We continue to focus on it and make it better moving forward, especially as, everyone, continues to play their games from home and the competition gets, stronger and stronger and stronger. The last thing we want is a bad connection impacting the quality of the experience and the end result of a competitive game. So that continues to be a focus for us as well moving forward here.
In this year's game, you guys decided kind of to focus more on current gen than move to next gen. What kind of came behind that decision?
For us, it was just, with console transitions, first and foremost, I'll say that console transitions are really hard to do. For us, we have the opportunity to let some of the other titles, like the FIFAs and the Madden, some of those bigger titles that are out there, take the lead and do a lot of the heavy lifting for us and us kind of sit back and learn. So, the benefit that we have is being part of the greater sports portfolio where we can make sort of strategic decisions about what the most efficient way is and how we can deliver the best experiences over, a period of time to our players. And so that was really the driving force behind it, is, a strategic decision on what are the right titles to kind of go first and lead the way, and then what are the right titles to leverage those that works that's being done for year one to kind of follow suit and come back even stronger.
I wanted to just jump back about like the servers and stuff like that, because as you know, like I have a team online, we're called the Squirts, and I yeah, I know it's cheesy, but just
come please, on man,
just let it run, guys.
Grammar,
let it
can run. You flag that, can you flag that name, please?
Yeah,
don't let that happen next game. Flag the name.
Listen, so we got, like, I play obviously in the East and my buddies, they play on the West. And one thing we noticed, and I want you to try to dispel this idea. Is it when you're combining the East and West and you're in playoff mode, like, once a month, ESHL, you have the playoffs. Does that slow down the rate of getting players? Because sometimes we find that during playoffs, it's a lot harder to find games. Does that have anything to do with the fact that you're playing with guys from East and West together?
Yeah. Anytime that you see a slowdown in getting players, it's really about the matchmaking pool, right? And so as the pool of players gets smaller and smaller, you have to wait for longer durations of time just to get get all the players populated with the experience. I think a good example of that is with our eliminators feature that we have in the game. Mm-hmm. Right, and so you go through four different rounds, and when you get to that final round, because there's just a smaller group of people that have made it that fourth round, the wait times get longer and longer and longer. So we're making some changes this year to get rid of that fourth round, Okay. So that you have to wait less time, but it's that's all it is. It's, you know, the population of people that are available to matchmake with. Same, you know, so time of day will also play into that as well, right?
Okay. Just want everybody to know that the Squirts have won 2 chips this year. We should have had a lot more, but we have won 2
they
chips.
They should have been disqualified for their name before they even started.
That's right. Can't change the name. We're original. You know what's so funny, though? I've seen other teams use the name Squirts. And last year, somebody used Squirts, and, like, we refused. We ended up calling ourselves the OG Squirts because we didn't want to, you know, it's maddening. But I know it's a crazy name, but I can't change it because, you know, we've had it for so long. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about the game. You know, it's soon to be released. Can you remind everybody when the game is going to be released and what can fans of the game expect this year that's different from any other year, or what you're really excited to share?
Yeah, October 16th, NHL 21 is coming out. We're really, really excited about the game this year. A big focus this year has been on our Be a Pro feature. You know, we haven't done a lot with our Be a Pro feature in the past couple years, and it was time for us to make significant change there. And so what you'll see, very much like Obi, you know, as our cover athlete, you'll have the opportunity to go in and start your Be a Pro career in the CHL, in the Champions Hockey League, or straight on an NHL team, and then kind of carve your path to the Calder Cup, carve your path to win a Stanley Cup. There's lots of new cinematics in the mode, lots of dialogue in the new dialogue in the mode where you interact with your teammates, you interact with you know, management as well. The decisions that you make, we wanted to make sure that there were lots of decisions for you to make along your way that had impact on your season, on your career. And you know, we have lots of in-game challenges as well that you would go through and accept or decline. And based on how you execute those challenges, again, you move up the lineup faster, you get more ice time, all of those things. And we want to give you just the opportunity to, you know, to you know, define your career the way that you want to define it. You can take a more showman type route, or you can take a little more conservative hockey route. And the amount of dialogue we put in the game this year, you're going to see new cinematics in the game this year. We're just really excited with the package that we have with our Be a Pro, especially.
What about gameplay? Anything new that you can share with us? I know they talked about some of the moves that the lacrosse style goal. I heard that's going to be in there, and we know the first week that's all anybody's going to be trying to do. But
yeah.
It's going to get irritating after a while. I'll tell you that. But what do we got new coming as far as on?
Yeah, we got lots more gameplay details coming up a little later on, a little closer to launch, but. Absolutely. Again, when you talk about, you know, Alex Ovechkin and kind of the flair that he brings to the game, we want to capture that. I mean, the NHL's changed. So you guys know this. The NHL's changed so much over the last little bit. Guys going between the legs now all the time. Kachuk scoring between the legs one-timer goal. Kucherov with the no deke and trying these moves in real games. The Svechnikov Michigan goal from behind the net. We've got little banks into space, little slip deeks off the board. So lots of new tools to enable our players to be more creative on the ice that reflects kind of the way the game is, you know, continuing to evolve these days with this next level of skill and next level of move that we're seeing night in, night out in the real NHL right now. So that's a big focus for us. The other one is a big focus on AI, especially with our focus on Be a Pro. This year was important that our AI took a big jump to support that experience. And so we've done a lot of work on our AI as well this year. And the game just plays because of all that work, you know, the sum of all the parts, the game just plays and flows so much smoother than it has in years past.
What about push puck? Are we going to get push back? Are we going to get a push puck back? I love you that.
You like the push puck?
Okay. Cause here's
keep that in the vault.
No, but hold on a second, Elijah. Like the great thing about the push puck was you were able to just, you know, push it forward and then you just get that speed, and that could be the difference to get around another guy. I love that.
I'm not a fan.
Give me your take on why you're not a fan.
Yeah.
I think it takes more skill not having the push puck.
Yeah.
Just get around
and
there.
I think when you create all the other little moves and the new skating techniques, I think it just kind of makes it more realistic. And
I'd love to be able to just push the puck, do a little, like, you know, a little just off the, you know, bank it off the boards and then just go around a player and grab it and go. No,
we got that for you this year.
Okay,
yeah, off the bars. But how often in real life games do you see a push puck? If it was in the game, people would just be doing it nonstop
on a breakaway, and a guy's right coming up right behind you. I've seen guys push the puck a little bit just to get that extra speed in there and not have to worry about. No, okay, I've never played at high level, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking.
I think if we're bringing back, you look to bring back pushback, we gotta have more fidelity because it was only going straight, you know,
right
ahead. I think what you want to have now, if you want to bring it back, is you want to have the ability to push that puck into space, like any direction that you want to go. Right. So 45s or 90 degrees, like the guys now are just so creative. They're pushing that puck or flipping that puck into space. You know, guys like to come, like a left-handed shot likes to come down right-handed wing. You know, flip it, a little backhand flip over the D-man stick and then fire a shot to get to puck center ice. Like those are, you know, I think that's like the evolution of push puck, right, if we were ever to bring it back.
I got a question about the goalies. I know that's probably pretty hard to work with every year. People find goals that are kind of easier to score and can repeat every time. How does that come together? Yeah, the little glitch goals. How does that, when making the goalies, how do you kind of find putting that together?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, what we, you know, with gameplay in general, you know, we have a vision for how we want gameplay to play at the end of every single year. And then we get in the hands of our players through, you know, closed betas or technical tests, and we start to see the way that people are actually trying to, you know, the way that people are actually playing our game because they want to win at all costs. And they don't necessarily play the game the way that you envisioned you wanted people to play the game. Mm-hmm. And so same thing with our goalies, right? You know, in the first couple of days of the game being out there, there's so many millions of games being played that people find stuff really, really quickly. Things that are, you know, unbalanced or goal, you know, gaps in the goalie or some exploit goals that they can replicate. So, you know, the way that we build our gameplay, the way that we build our goalies is with tuners. So you see us, you know, put new tuners up all the time, and we have lots of control of different variables with, you know, the goalies and our gameplay in general that we can tune very, very quickly and put a tuner set up without having to go through the whole patch process. So that's basically it. We put it out there, you know, we deliver the best experience we possibly can, knowing that there's probably going to be some holes in the goalies and things like that, but also being confident we have the tools to close that stuff up, you know, as we get visibility to it from people playing.
I think that's expected. I mean, in any game, really, there's like, you look at NBA, FIFA, like there's going to be ways to get glitch goals or glitch baskets. So I think when you look at that, it's kind of just expected.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, as players get better too, as players get better and more familiar with the controls and new moves, their skill level increases and they find new things, right? They find new things, or we make a little tweak with the tuner. It fixes one thing, but it creates another gap somewhere else. So us just being able to be fluid and be able to adapt quickly is the most important piece, because we're never going to get the perfect game or the perfect goalie, you know, right out the gate at launch, because people's playing behavior changes. They just find new stuff. So we just got to be able to adapt.
You know, the NBA, NFL, FIFA athletes, they're known being very expressive with large personalities. And you can even, you know, see that in their games, very detailed from their clothing to their look. Will the NHL franchise ever get to that point where you end up spending like an hour just trying to just make your guy look and kind of feel like you want him to be? Because again, I'm very big on like the ESHL and just a personal game and just making my guy. And I feel like, you know, even down to the wrestling, the WWE games, they're very detailed in the look. Are we going to see a little bit more of that this year or down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a big focus for us. It's how hockey's changing, right? You're starting to see more self-expression in the game. You're starting to see more, you know, over the top celebrations. The world of Chell, when we introduced the world of Chell, it was a big step for us in terms of, I guess, expanding the definition of authenticity within our game. So authenticity for us prior to the world of Chell was really about just making sure that, you know, every NHL player looked as close as they could to the real life player. We had every detail correct, you know, with the equipment they were wearing, the uniforms, the arenas, like all that, those, you know, when you think of authentic, NHL authentic. And the world of Chell was an opportunity to broaden that definition of authenticity to encapsulate how hockey is played in all its forms around the world. So the outdoor rinks, the pond hockey, people wearing hoodies and, you know, jerseys over hoodies and jeans to play, or track suits. So absolutely, like the World of Cello is our first step in enabling more of that creativity, more of that self-expression beyond just the, you know, authentic NHL gear and uniforms. And when you look at, you know, what Gen Z, that younger generation, is looking for in their experience, and not just in hockey, but across, you know, a lot of other genre, you know, a lot of other sports games and other genres, it's that ability to invest in themselves as the primary character, the main character in the game that they're playing, and to customize themselves and make themselves look different and show off the accomplishments that they have by what they're wearing or their banners. Things like that. So absolutely, it's going to continue to be a focus for us moving forward, is just allowing people to, you know, express themselves the way that they want to in our game.
I want to go back to talking about feedback, and I'll start off with this. As a game developer, how much of a thick skin do you have to have in this industry?
Ah, the internet can be a tough place. You gotta have a thick skin. You know what though? If you follow my social media and stuff like that, you don't see this, but I'll tell you this. You know, a lot of people have strong opinions about the game. I encourage the feedback, like we talked about earlier. I want to hear the feedback. The team wants to hear the feedback. So we have all the time in the world for constructive feedback. Like I said, we'll take constructive feedback from anywhere. You know, anytime, and it's our job to take that feedback, hear it, because those are people that are, you know, paying their hard-earned money to play our game, and they're passionate and they have a perspective. And so it's important that we listen to that. But there's also haters online as well, as you know. And you know what? A lot of times though, and again, you don't see this. I do it through DM, but I go back to a lot of people that don't like me up online that have those strong opinions. When someone says, "Hey, your game sucks," there's not much I can do with that. I have no context behind that. Right. So a lot of times I will go back to you. If you call me, you say, "Hey, your game sucks." I'm like, "Okay, well, hang on. I'll DM you and say, well, hey, listen, I'm sorry you feel that way, first and foremost, but tell me more. Like specifically, like what are the things, that, you know, in the game that you're playing right now that you don't love? And let's have a discussion about that. Let me just dig deeper and better understand that." Because those things that are frustrating you, that's leading you to put a tweet out there and say the game sucks, there's probably other people out there who are experiencing the same thing, the same frustrations. And unless we know about what those frustrations are, we can't action on it. We can't ask other players that they have the same frustrations or not. So I spent many Saturdays and Sundays talking to haters through DM to better understand where their frustrations coming from. I recall one specific conversation with someone who, you know, kind of lit us up online, and I shouted out to him, a DM to him, and just asked him, what specifically were his concerns. And he was looking for a specific goalie control that he wanted to be able to toggle on or off at the time. And I said, "That's actually in there. You know, go to this screen. That option you're looking for is actually in the game." He's like, "Oh man, thank you. I love this game." It was like it was a big, bold statement online on social media, and it was a small little issue that he was having, but that conversation allowed me to point out that that functionality is actually in the game. You just haven't been able to find it. What that tells me though, from a developer's perspective, is the fact that this person is passionate about this issue, they weren't able to find the setting that we had in the game. We're probably not doing a good enough job of servicing that setting for them. So right. Our user experience, our UX, our flow, something's failing us there, because this person who's looking for that couldn't find it.
I know one thing that some of the guys that I play with complain about is when you turn on the game, because again, we just strictly play EASHL, and they feel that getting from point A to point B, getting to the game, takes a long time, a lot of menus, and it takes a long. Are there things that you just, you know, I know people complain about, but you just, there's just no way of getting around it? Do you find a lot of that happening for you guys?
You know what? Everything our engineers will tell you this. Anything can be done. It's just time and effort. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge we have with our Itaverse sports titles is that I can tell you right now, like, you know, 12 months from, you know, October, our next game is going to come out. And so we just need to prioritize. We have a finite amount of time to build our game. And so we need to prioritize everything that we do. And so, you know, if we decide that we want to I agree with you, by the way, that the whole, you know, the whole compulsion loop within the EA Sports Hockey League and navigating around There's opportunities to get better there. Our fans have told us that as well. So it's a, you know, it's going to be a focus for us moving forward. But it just all comes down to prioritization. We fix stuff that we have in the game. Are we adding new stuff somewhere in the middle? Who are we building the game? You know, what features are we building for what audience? So those are all the conversations that we have during our pre-production process.
Just going back to, I'm not sure what episode it was, but Akil and I were kind of talking about how we both had a franchise mode and we would keep track of our own stats and kind of go back and forth and compete. And I know you guys used to have a GM connected in there. Is that something down the road you guys are looking at adding back?
Yeah, I mean, we see all the feedback online around GM connected. We will continue to look at GM connected. We hear the fans when they're asking us for GM connected. When you look back though, you know, when you look back at the experience from, you know, 13, 14 with GM connected, there were some things in there that were less than ideal, right? The screen load times. We had a client service relationship there where every screen needed to pull down updated information from the server. So screens took a longer time to load than we would have liked. So there are a lot of things that actually impeded the overall experience there. But we absolutely hear the fans on their want for GM connected, and we're going to continue to look forward to when the right time is to bring it back. So I think it's important whether, you know, we hear our fans loud and clear, but when is the right time? When can we bring it back in a way that we don't have some of the challenges that we've had in the past when we first had in 13 and 14?
You know, for me personally, EASHL is the most interesting and the only, like, the main part of the game that I always play. So, you know, my conversations are with you especially are going to be around that. And I want to know if there are any improvements to that mode this year or anything that we can look forward to as a group of guys playing online.
Yeah, we got more. We have to hold out a little bit, Kwame.
Got to hold out? As long as I know that there's some stuff coming that are different, then that answers my question.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It's again, the EA Sports Hockey League, the world of Chell as a whole, a lot of our players are playing in there. So there's some stuff that we've done this year just to really improve that overall experience. And a lot of it based on fan feedback as well. So I think you'll be happy.
Okay. So we're not going to drop a Funkmaster Flex Bomb on anybody. We can't drop a little... I'm just kidding.
No. I got nothing for you right now.
Okay.
Kwame said that's the only game mode he plays. He's on Xbox. I don't know why he's on Xbox. Me and Akil are both on PlayStation 4. Do you guys see a cross-platform gaming coming soon, or is that something that's down the road?
That's a big question online. I know a lot of guys are asking that.
Yeah, Kwame's team will get slapped up.
No, Elijah wants to get lit up.
Your team name is the Squirts, so I promise you we're not getting lit up by no one named the Squirts.
Yeah. But can we see that though? I'd love to see the cross.
Yeah, I can't commit. Yeah, I can't commit to a timeline on cross-platform play. But I will say this: it's becoming an expectation of games, right? When you talk about, this very example that we're talking about right now, the fact that, you know, you guys can't play against one another because there's a barrier and the console being that barrier right now. For us, when we talk about, enabling the best experiences, the best social experiences that we possibly can, we want to remove as many barriers as we can as well. And right now that hardware differentiation is a barrier that I think we need to tackle. You've seen games have a lot of success by removing that barrier and allowing more people to play. Kwame, you'll be, once we get there, it'll be easier for you to find, more players to play with and match make against as well. So I think it's important, it's important for us to look at. So it's on the radar for sure. When we get to it, is sort of TBD right now. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important.
One critique I would have, and I actually talked to one of your guys about this, and I think it's really important to note. And hopefully it will change this year. But, when we're talking about cultural impact and being able to see each other online, playing these games, you go in there, you develop your guy, your name, where you're from, your look, your skin tone, your nose, all of that. The one issue I had for the last couple of years with the game is, you have to get to a certain point to get all these extra attributes. For for example, hair. Hair is a big thing. Yeah, and I guarantee you, anybody who's playing these games will talk about the hair and the hairstyle. And I noticed there were more hairstyles for people like myself, for, you know, black hairstyles, an afro, dreadlocks, fades. But you have to play on and on and on. Like, it's so hard to get those specific modes. Whereas if you're a white guy and you want to develop your or make your player, boom, I got so many different hairstyles. And the answer that I got was that, well, because the dreadlocks and all these are such cool hairstyles, so you should want to. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm a black man. I want a character that looks like me. So for me, I have to forever be either bald headed or I have to do this Jerry curl, which is so old school. Can we see that kind of changing, or can you commit to saying that this year a person of color can have different black hairstyles?
Just to add on to that too. Even when you create a player, I don't know how many, but there's only like 10 different options for a black guy. And I would say there's a lot more options to pick for like faces for a white guy. So,
and we've got Asian people out there. We got East Indian people out there that want to be able to just like this. You know what I mean? The limitation. So speak on that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're going to see more options within our game moving forward. Kwame, I'm going to take a note and follow up on that one, on the hairstyle one right now, right after this.
Please.
But yeah, absolutely. Right. Again, we want everyone to be able to sort of represent themselves the way that they want to be represented within our game. And we need to provide more options. You can count on us providing more options, more skin tones moving forward, more hairstyles moving forward. Again, we want our platform to be a positive place for people to play. And we want people to be able to represent themselves the way that they want to be represented within our game. And so again, we're going to continue to focus on it moving forward here. This is a big priority for us. Cause we want everyone to, you know, we just want everyone to enjoy the sport of hockey and our game. And we don't want to have, you know, hopefully we're not having conversations like this specific one, you know, in the years to come. It's important. It's a really, really important conversation for us to have. And it's important action for us to take.
I just think for like a young kid, like Elijah's brothers and Keel's brother, all these young kids, I know a young guy who is in my film who loves the game, and he's, you know, he's got dreadlocks, and it's going to take him time and time and time just to make himself look like himself, whereas his fellow teammate just has to click and he can do many different hairstyles. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you guys have progressed a long way as far as inclusion. Before we get into our wrapping this up, you know, is there anything you want to share with our audience, maybe what you're most proud about coming forward or in the past, or anything you can share with our audience to, you know, really get them excited for NHL 21.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, I'm just on a more personal internal note, the resilience of our NHL team over the past 6 months through COVID, through working from home.
Oh yeah.
Right. You know, like I've been trying to do an internal pilot of working from home for 1 day a week for the past probably year or so. And we just didn't get around to putting it into place. And then when COVID hit, we basically turned around working from home for everybody on our team in a matter of 24 to 36 hours. And the team was so resilient. We just figured it out. We just, you know, over-communicated. We figured out how to get people set up at home. What they needed to be set up at home. The company, you know, really, really stepped up and took the lead on prioritizing our people through all the uncertainty. Our team just kind of rolled with the punches, you know, did what we had to do to get set up from home. And, you know, we knew that we didn't know when we were going to be able to finish the game. We didn't know what the future was going to look like. We didn't know how long we were going to be working from home for. But we did know is that we could focus on quality of the experience that we're going to deliver to our players. And we just focused all our efforts on quality. So when I look at NHL 21, and I'm super proud of sort of the feature set that we're going to deliver to the world here on October 16th, but I'm probably most proud of the job that the team has done through these trying circumstances, and everything else going on in the world right now too, that, you know, can be considered, adding to the challenges of working from home. The job the team's done, just kind of rally, battle through like a good team does, and put a quality game out the door. That's the piece that I'm probably most proud of. The game itself is going to be fantastic, and super proud of that. But I'm especially proud of the team this year and the job that the team has done, sort of battling through adversity.
Love that. Big shout out to Andy Agostini and all the rest of the boys over there at EA. You know, you guys welcomed me in there with open arms, and I think you got a great team. The squirts appreciate you guys, you know. I'm really excited for 21. Like, you know, that's besides that and Batman, those are the two only games that I play in my household. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm real excited about this game too. I think since maybe like 2003, I've gotten the game every year. The first day it comes out every year.
I used to line up when they used to have those in-store ones. I used to line up and wait to pick up that game,
man. Every year. I haven't missed one year, so I'm real excited about it. This year is the first year since 2016 that I won't be in the game because I'm out of the CHL now. But I don't know if I'm ready to leave yet. So Rammer, if you want to throw me in as one of the coaches or pop me in for you.
Let's see what we can do.
I don't know if I'm ready to leave the game yet, but
that's fair, man. Just keep
that in mind.
Gotcha. All right.
And like I said, for our audience out there that are listening and into the game, I'm just going to give you another piece of my own personal experience with the game and why, Rammer, I think it's so important that you guys continue to do the work that you're doing, because you can literally do your part as far as bringing people together just to play the game, bringing people together from a social responsibility mindset, and having conversations and just looking and inspiring, and having kids being able to turn on their Xbox or their PS and say, you know, this character that I'm creating looks like me, or these guys out there look like me, the AI looks like me, the referee looks like me, the coach looks like me. You know, years ago when I was living in Edmonton, you know, a friend of mine, I think this is the first time EASHL was coming on board, and a friend of mine said, hey, there's a bunch of, I know you play hockey online. A bunch of us are jumping on and we want to, you know, create a team. And, you know, it was a group of us, but it all dwindled down to about four. Now we're at about five or actually seven guys. So we have to switch out sometimes. But the point I'm trying to make is when I first joined the Squirts, and everybody can laugh at that name, it was a guy from Detroit, a guy from California, and a guy from Vancouver, and I was living in Edmonton. And the four of us became the tightest of friends, and to the point where one of our guys was getting married, and he invited us to the wedding, and we had never met in person. I had never met these guys in person, just online. I went out to Los Angeles, California, had one of the best times, and telling the story, because when, you know, people are saying, how do you know Sean? How do you know Sean?
Yeah.
And we tell them that it's through this video game. People are like, wait a second. Are you telling me you guys don't know each other just through this video game? I'm like, yeah, this game brought us together. Down to his sister-in-law was like, that's the craziest, that's the stupidest thing ever. But I had to look at her and be like, why? Like, these are my friends forever. So I want to thank you, man, for all the work you're doing, because it gave me a group of guys who I consider some of my best friends on this planet Earth. And that means a lot to me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I love hearing stories. I love hearing stories like that. I mean, there's the EA Sports Hockey League has done so much for bringing people together around the hockey community and creating new friendships and things like that. I remember the first year we launched the EA Sports Hockey League back in 2009, and we had an end of year tournament. We brought through two teams, the two top teams from Xbox and from PlayStation at the time, and same thing, same story. Those guys were meeting each other in person for the first time at our Vancouver studio. It was just an incredible moment where people are meeting people that they spent so many hours playing and connecting online over our game or with our game to meet for the first time in Vancouver. Yeah, it was amazing. That's an incredible story you have too, by the way.
Yeah, and that, I mean, if I tell you about that wedding, the story doesn't end there, but it's crazy. But the simple fact that I got to know these guys to this day, that, you know, we still play. Only one guy's kind of fallen off, and we've added a couple of guys, but it's beautiful. And, you know, sometimes we get online there and there's certain things that we hate and some things that we love, and, you know, but, you know, the game is growing and you guys are doing your job. But I think the biggest thing that you guys can do is do your part. I think right now there's a lot of people out there, you know, with the climate that we're in, that have opinions and talk about this person should be doing that and this person should be doing that, and not taking in consideration what they can do personally. And you and I, after George Floyd was murdered, we sat on the phone call because you were going to be on our show from a long time ago.
Yeah,
you said, Kwame, right. We need to take a step back. EA needs to figure out where they stand in this. And I sat back and I watched, and I remember the day I turned on the computer and this writing came up, and I'm like, hey, what the hell? And then I read it and I was like, My man, Rammer. And you guys made that statement. And I think, you know, especially from the Black community of gamers, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what? You know, there was more than just me involved in that, obviously. It was a company thing. That, you know, what we did there made a lot, you know, made me super proud to be working for EA. And the way that EA sort of leaned into the conversation around racial injustice and everything else going on in the world right now has made, you know, a lot of people at EA very, very proud to be working for the company and the way that we're kind of stepping up. So, yeah, I appreciate that from you, Kwame, but, you know, it's a lot of people involved in that, not just me, myself.
And with that being said, we've learned a little bit about the game. We learned a little bit about you, but the one thing about you we do not know is what we do each and every week. We ask our guests to tell us their top five, the top five songs that you that use that inspire them. And for you, Rammer, it's the top five songs that you use to inspire yourself to get down and dirty and get into the mindset of creating a great NHL game. What are the five songs that you are listening to that gets you hyped up, my man?
Ooh, top five songs. Oh, I can't have I can't talk top five songs without having some biggie. So Biggie applies for all. Okay, One More Chance. One More Chance is my probably my single all time anthem. So that's number one on the list.
Okay.
I'm a big Jay-Z fan as well. We're gonna go with some Jay-Z. Where should I go with Jay-Z next? Give me a second. I'm gonna take a look. Give me a second. You know what? Yep. I kind of like when I get hyped. I go a little Run This Town.
Okay.
Kwame, he already better than Joseph last week.
You're already better than P.O. Joseph.
Two songs and you're already better than Joseph.
Yeah. Another song that kind of hypes me up a little bit. I'm going to step away from the hip hop for a second. Take it back to the West Indies. I'm a big fan of Rupee from Barbados and his song Jump.
Okay.
Jump is one of my all-time favorite party songs, one of the Caribbean parties. Huge gamer as well. And I got, you know, quick story on Rupee, man. Like,
please.
He's a guy that, you know, my family, all our family functions, we grew up, you know, listening to his music. And, you know, you talk about your EA Sports Hockey League connections, these people you don't know. I've loved this guy's music for years and years and years, and he reached out to me through social media. Because I worked for EA, and I was like, wait a minute, let me just double check. Is this who I'm talking to right now? And same thing, right? We've had a friendship ever since. We connected a couple of his shows, you know, in New York, nice. Vancouver here. So he's absolutely on my list, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Okay, so that's what? That's three, Elijah?
That's three? Three, yeah.
That's three.
Got two more.
That's three. Hang on, I'm going to give you 1 second here. I'm going to take a quick little look at my what am I playing right now? I'm playing a lot of, right now I'm playing, one of my go-tos is a little Uproar.
Uproar?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of my current ones right now, a little Uproar. We put them in the game last year. A little Snoop, a little Young Wild and Free kind of slips in there as well every now and then as well. So that's kind of There's my Saturday night playlist for you.
I know, Elijah, you want to go, but I just want to ask you, how important is music to the franchise? And, you know, what's your process in picking songs?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. You know, we put a soundtrack out every single year, and we try to work with, you know, what we tried to do originally was about, it was originally about hockey anthems. Like, what are the songs that we can picture being played in arenas, you know, around the world? That was sort of the first lens that we had. And then it started to transition to, like, who are the upcoming bands that we can see being part of the hockey world? And now it's like, you know, what do we think is like the right type of music that will resonate with, you know, all of our fans that have so many different interests in different genres of music. So really trying to expand the type of music that we have in our game to just not necessarily be authentic to hockey and hockey arenas, but to cater to the tastes of, you know, all of our fans that are out there. So really trying to, we've, you know, been the last couple of years trying to evolve the soundtrack to cater to more and more people.
And I think hip hop, I know I play the game a lot. I don't hear a lot of hip hop, and going back from all the years playing these games, there's a lot of songs that I would never listen to, but then I play the game over and over and it's like, you know what, this song's not bad. So I think maybe if you threw some hip hop in there or some soca music, you might get a lot of people.
Probably not. The soca's probably not going to resonate, but I think.
Man, if there's one soca song in there, it'll grow on people. Cause it's good music, you know what I mean?
See that. So
I think if you add some of that in, a lot of people will like it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, NBA and NFL, man, their soundtracks, geez, boy. You know where they're going.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, you look at, like, yeah, I mean, you see the NBA, like, pregame and stuff like that, they're playing soca music now, right? Mm-hmm. They're starting to play different types of music. Mm-hmm. You're seeing halftime shows done to, like, Marshall Montano and guys like that.
Right.
So soca started to make a presence in the world of the NBA. And I think when you think about NHL and try to relate to you know, the diversity of our fans that are out there right now, I think you're going to start to see more more different genres of music. I think it's important. I think when we talk about diversity and inclusion, I think it can apply to our soundtrack as well.
Set the tone.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Real quick, before we let you go, I know you guys got some dates for when you're going to talk about certain things in the game. Can you let us know when those dates are? Mm. And where everyone could follow you on social media and also the NHL game.
Yeah, you can follow the EA Sports game at EA Sports NHL on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow myself at Rammer34, both on Instagram and Twitter as well. And then for the exact dates for all the info, it's right on our EA Sports NHL page, as well as we're tweeting almost every day right now from our EA Sports NHL accounts as well. World of Chell information just dropped as well, so go check it out.
Rammer, thank you so much once again for rocking with the best. We really appreciate your time, brother. I look forward to seeing you at NHL Offense. I look forward to hanging out with you and the crew once again. And, you know, thank you for all you're doing. And I know it's a tough job. I know you guys are trying your best to get it right. But as long as you try, then, you know, I know, speaking for myself and Elijah, we will always be forever fans of the game, and we will always make sure that that is a game that's in our library.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you both for having me on here. Elijah, good meeting you. Kwame, appreciate your friendship over the years, man. From Tampa on, we stayed close. We've had lots of conversations. I know your passion. I love your passion for the game and your passion for conversations like this as well, man. So let's keep in touch here.
Appreciate you,
thank
man.
You, Rammer. Appreciate it.
That was Sean Ram Jam Singh, a.k.a. Big Rammer, right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast. Elijah, that was, you know, I think that's a great conversation to always have. You know, we are able to talk about the game coming out and also get to talk about, you know, social justice issues, you know, how that game reflects people of color and the whole gauntlet. And I'm totally looking forward to NHL 21. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it's a real great conversation. The one thing that kind of stuck out to me is how he takes feedback from everybody. It's not just the NHL players. It's little kids, people all over the world. And, you know, you hear when you talk to him, he's really listening and making his voice heard and making a change. So I'm really excited for the game. And, you know, even just talking to him now, I learned a lot. And, yeah, real excited.
And, you know, the game's not perfect. I know guys on my team, they rag on it all the time. And, You know, there are things that I think that they can improve on, but I just love playing the game. Again, I've never played.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. I've never played hockey at such a high level, but, you know, when I get online and I play with my boys, I just the feel of the game is just the closest I'll ever get to being an NHL player or playing at a higher level. So I just love it. And, you know, once again, October 16th?
Yeah.
It comes out on all platforms, and I hope everybody gets it. And on behalf of Akil, who isn't here, who's traveling to Los Angeles, he should be in
You know the real reason why Akil ain't here?
Why is that?
Because he knows I'm better than him at NHL.
And he didn't want to hear it.
He didn't want to
hear about it. He didn't want to hear about it.
He didn't want to hear it. He just told us he's going out to L.A., but that's the real reason.
I love it. All right, people, thank you for joining us. Make sure you check us out on all platforms. Soul on Ice, the podcast. My name is Kwame. That's my dude, my nephew right there, Elijah Roberts. And we'll check you guys next week.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Cheese are dusting, fussing, fighting. With myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness. Shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and know the, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house with a gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass. From Jesus to Jordan to Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.